It's disintegrating because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning, good morning, good morning from where the heck am I? Temple, Texas. Doing the best we can here with the technology. I'm coming to you today over my cell phone. Just a little bit better connection than we had on the land internet here. And just looked at the calendar. It's the 27th of February. Takes me back to my teaching days. Hated those dog days of winter. You know, December. I think I said shared this with you before. Just the syllables, December, 3 syllables, January, 4 syllables, February, 4 syllables, and then all of a sudden, March, April, May. And that's why I know spring is coming, because we're just a couple days from March, April, May. Weather gets good. At least that's from a Buckeye. Some of you guys live in those places where it doesn't really matter a whole lot with the weather because it stays the same, so... We're pumped up here. I got Big Rich is sitting right across the table from me. Commander Chad's in the other room. He'll be back out here in a second. We still are in Temple, Texas, which is it's about an hour from Austin. Austin, the state capital, of course, for Texas. We had a great weekend. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, although I don't want to bore you all about it. The greatest part of my weekend was spending time with Chad, Rich, Robert, and Chad's wife and their family, and who? I'm sorry,
Chris.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Josh, and Chris, and I mean we met a lot. For those of you who know, we were with a lot of OSAers. You know, Rusty Thomas and Chet Gallagher and Cal Zaster. We saw all those guys this weekend, and that aspect of it to me is the best part, to get together into fellowship and come across like-minded guys who agree with you and don't think that you're nuts and all that. But I'm telling you, especially over the last 24 hours, Rich and I and Chad, we've really dug in to, man, what's going on. Because listen, hey, folks, we got to have us a plan. We don't have us a plan. I know I talk about that a lot. And we had this event here, this abolish abortion event here in Texas, and I appreciate it. And there was maybe 500 of us. I saw on my Facebook page, somebody said there were 1,000 of us that marched. And we marched two miles from the abortion clinic to the state house, and we had a great rally at the state house. Like, look, hey, talk's cheap, boys. Talk is cheap. At some point, we got to stop talking. At some point, we have to propel the talk into action. So we were trying to lay some foundation. I'd love to hear from some of you. If you're watching this even out there on the internet and saying, you know, what can I possibly have to offer? Well, there's some good idea men, and there's some good marketing guys out there who have an idea. Maybe you've been watching this show and you say, well, I'm not going to send an email. Who am I? You know, I'm just a guy sitting out here. Listen, you are really, really a valuable part of what's going on. And if you got an idea, if you got a marketing plan, if you've got see, that's what church has become. You need a marketing plan. And I don't want to market what we do. That's not what I'm saying. Boys, we need some players. We need more players. And wait a minute. We need some players with some skills. And I'm not talking about just going out and giving us a whole bunch of numbers. I think I shared this with you before. When I was coaching at London High School in the mid-90s in Ohio, when I went in there and took over that program in 1989, our first year there, we went 3-7. We had 35 guys on the team. 35 guys on the team, 3-7. And from that day, the day that first season was over, I began walking the halls recruiting players. And in 1994, I get the dates mixed up in my head. 1994, when we went to the Final Four in the state, we had 100 99 players, just under 100 players. You hear what I'm telling you? And I would walk up and down the halls, and I would try to encourage guys to come out and be part of our football team. And they would say, well, coach, I haven't played since I'm in seventh grade. And I said, that's okay. Can you clap? They said, what? I said, yeah, can you do this? Can you clap? I said, yep. I said, well, we need clappers. For the game, when we line up, we need clappers. Come on, man, we need you. And I'd go to another guy, said, hey, same story. Come on, man, we need you. Come on. He said, well, I can't. Well, I can't, coach. I haven't played. And blah, blah. I said, hey, can you do this? Can you do a jumping jack? He said, yeah, I can do a jump. Well, I said, show me. You do a jumping jack. I said, come on, man. We need guys that can do jumping jacks. And we went from 35 players to 99 players. I thought I was going to have to get 101, 102. You can't put that on a jersey. So I was going to have to get 1A, 1B, 2C. I didn't know what I was going to do because we had so many guys that wanted to play. But don't ever miss this. We had a lot of guys on the team, hear me, but they weren't all players. We'll say it again because some of you didn't get it. We had 100 and almost 100 guys on the team, but they weren't all players. And, you know, most of the teams, when we walked out on the field, we were going to kick the crap out of them because we were better. We were just better than they were. But there were about three times a year, regular season, that we had a real game. And I was always nervous before the game. Didn't matter who we were playing because I don't care who you are. You can – I would tell our guys, listen, we're going to lose – I'm sorry. The opponents are going to lose more games than we're ever going to win. And they didn't get it, and you didn't get it either. That's why I'm going to say it again. The opponent loses more games than we ever win, meaning their screw-ups are going to lead to our victory. They will lose to us. It won't be necessarily we beat them. They'll fumble. They'll jump off sides. They'll throw interceptions. They'll get punts blocked. They'll do stupid penalties. They will lose to us more than we will beat them. Am I making sense? Somebody shake your head yes, so you know what I'm talking about, right? But I knew that about three games a year, we needed up playing our we needed every the band. We couldn't make any mistakes. We had to win. They weren't going to lose to us. And when we were playing those guys, it'd be 100 guys. Matt, picture this, out on the football. We'd run out on the field. It seemed like it took us an hour to get out there, everybody to get lined up. Most times the other team was beaten right then because just of our numbers. Our numbers overwhelmed them. We're playing a team that's got 40 guys, 45 guys, maybe 50, maybe a really good team that's got 60. And here we come running out. We got 99, and we circle around them, and we line up, and it takes forever. And we look like a friggin' army. And they were beat before we ever played. But when we were playing those three really good teams, and all of our guys were lined up, all 99 of them. Imagine we had guys 7 across, 13 rows of 7 across. We would go from midfield to the goal line. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It was intimidating. Numbers mattered. But when we were playing a really good team like West Jefferson, can't really say it still, thanks. You know what we knew? I'd walk up every game, every pregame, I'd walk up and down the football when they were warming up. I'd walk up and down those, I just told you, 7 across, dozen deep. I'd walk up and down, and I would give everybody a 5, or I'd knuckle them, or I'd shake their hand, or I'd wish them good luck. I'd hit them on top of the helmet. But you know what? You know what I was really doing? I was walking through those 99 guys trying to find 15 I knew I could trust. Because most of those guys on the team, they were cheerleaders. They were dead weight. They were pew sitters. They were bench sitters. And all they wanted to do, deep in their heart, they didn't have the courage to be and to do what was required of them to be great. But they wanted to be on the bandwagon. They wanted to be part of the team. They wanted the glory that went along with it. But we knew, we coaches knew who it was we could count on. And so I'm not looking for bench sitters. I'm looking for numbers. So no doubt about it. Numbers matter. And I'm going to talk a little bit, and I'll get Rich and Chad to talk here maybe a little bit about this weekend and the importance of numbers. You don't win with numbers, but numbers matter. Thumb up on that one. You don't win with numbers, but numbers matter. You win with playmakers. So I'm speaking to a lot of people out there who watch this show. I believe the numbers, despite what YouTube tells us, the numbers are growing into the thousands of people who are beginning to watch this show. And Roger, you're right on my screen right now. Roger, you can see me, Roger. Can you do this? Can you do this, Roger? Let me see. Can you do that? We need you, man. We need you. You have a skill that you bring to the table. Everybody watching this show has a skill. But we have to move beyond bench sitters and pew sitters and spectator Christianity. We have to move beyond those who will actively get in the game. One of the things I'd like you to do, and this is just coming off the top of my head, and Sarge, I know we have this already set up with our Salt and Light Brigade, but we need to get a catalog of people out there and what their skill sets are. So, you know, Coach, listen, I'm not very good in front of crowds. I can't speak. My tongue gets tied, but Coach, man, oh, man, I got to tell you something. I'm good on that computer. Coach, I'm good with technology. Coach, I'd love to do film. Or Coach, a lot of things. You have a skill we need. You have a skill we need. You have the ability to repair signs. You have the ability to repair broken equipment. You have a skill and an ability that we have. Because, guys, listen, we are more and more. If you can't look out your window and you can't see how the storm clouds are building, and if you can't see that the other team is hitting the field with a lot of numbers, and you don't think numbers matter, boys and girls, if you don't step onto the field, hey, Rich, the field's coming to them. The field is coming to you, to us, it's coming. And we got to get ready and we got to get prepared. Oh, yeah. Hey, Kevin Van Story. Kevin, if you're out there right now, I caught your video yesterday. Rich and I caught your video. And if you're watching out there, brother, yeah, we're coming for you. We're going to come and help you. We're looking for pastors out there. Listen, folks, this is where you can help us, okay? This is where you can help us. You know a good pastor? Now, listen, I'm not talking about a butt wiper. I don't want any butt wiper pastors. There probably are some of those out there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a guy who's just a real loving, oh, he's just the greatest guy in our family, loves him, and, oh, he preaches the greatest sermons. Well, God bless him. God bless him. Does he have any scars? Is he willing to go get some scars? Is he willing to stand up? If you have a pastor like that, please let us know and we will contact him. Now, I said this the other day and I got a couple feelers back. I'll come to your church. I will come to your church. You say, well, Coach, we can't afford you. That's the thing. I don't charge to come to your church. This is not a money-making proposition for us. We are in the information and the person-gathering business. And I will be happy to come to your church and help raise up in your church a group of men who are like-minded. There may only be two. There may only be three. You may have a men's group of 50 people, but they're just, hey, they're pew sitters. They're bench warmers. But in that, I can name Glenn Claremont. I don't know if Glenn's out there. He came to one of my boot camps. Glenn Claremont's on fire down here in Dallas, Texas, to get things going in his church. I could rattle off a list of guys. And some of you right now on this queue could testify something is going on. It's making you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Or Tim Tuber out in Oregon getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch this show. Something is going on. And if something is going on in your heart, let me promise you, there's something going on in the hearts of others as well. And we have to be able to extend to them an olive branch or whatever to say, come on, man, we need you. Whatever the skill you have, we need you. And see, I went to church yesterday here at Chad's, and I'm not making fun of church. Roger, you'll appreciate this. Sarge, you guys will get this. Went to church yesterday, and from the moment I walked in that church, I felt like I was walking into a performance. I walked into the room, walked into the back of the room, sat down, and I looked up front, and what did I see? A big platform where all the important people were sitting. They were all sitting up in front, and the rest of us were sitting down low, and we were watching them, waiting for them to perform. I am not being critical, although I am. I'm analyzing. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you went in there and your service went by, and then this guy got up on the platform and he performed, and then the next person got up on the platform and he performed, and then the next person got up on the platform and he performed, and then special singers came and they performed, and then everybody sat down, and here comes the big moolah. and he gets up there and he performs, and then everybody goes home. And I walked out of there. I'm thinking, I can't hardly stand this. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that church. I'm not talking about that specific church. Somebody say, I'm with you, Coach. I get what you're saying. So there wasn't anybody there. There wasn't anybody there that ever asked me to do anything great. Nobody asked me to lay something on the line. Nobody asked me. Say, it was Rich. You guys will be able to hear Rich. I want you to tell the story about the guy who prayed at the end. In fact, I'll turn it towards Rich. I hope you get a good look at it. But the guy at the end of the service, the guy up front, the guy running the show, says, "Hey, Tim, how about closing us in prayer?" We're all looking forward. Tim's in the back. We don't even know who Tim is, although I looked at the end because I wanted to know who Tim was. And, Rich, you tell him exactly what Tim did.
Hey, morning. Yeah, Tim was a 30-something-year-old country boy down here in Temple, Texas, man. And all he knew how to do, he wasn't one of them great articulate prayers, you know. He just opened his mouth and what was in his heart come out, and he began to pray about, "Lord, help us, our country's in trouble," you know. That was in him. He knows it. He don't know where to share it. He don't know what to do with it. He just blurted it out, and there was three or four big studly men standing right next to
him.
And soon as he said that, I turned around to see who was talking, because I knew this guy's heart wants to get in the fight.
Yep, he knows something
wrong.
And
he don't know how. And he knows
something wrong. See, it was all thanks, Rich. See, it was almost like he was apologizing in that prayer. It's almost like he was apologizing because we're taught that, you know, we're just supposed to share the gospel, and we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so there he is in the back. In fact, he said, "Lord, please do something in our nation." And it never dawned on him that he was the thing one to do it. That God works through men. God works through men. I'm telling you guys. I know in my knower that by the hundreds of thousands, there are men out there like that. We got to go. We got to up our ante. And I'm sick and tired. I said this the other day. I'm going to let somebody respond here in just a second. I said the other day, here's how I check people. I put something edgy on Facebook, and then I post it. And then I watch the dynamic that happens underneath it. It'll get 485 likes and 12 shares. So what the hell? You like it, but you won't share it? What's the matter with you? Well, I know what's the matter with you. You like it, but you won't share it because you're afraid of what those on your wall are going to say in response to it. Hey, boys, it's time to man up. It's time to belly up to the bar. It's time to tighten our belt and earn our meal money and say, "Listen, here's what I believe, and I'm going to take my stand. And if I continue to remain the silent majority, boys, we are going to remain silent, and it ain't going to be very long before it's going to look like we aren't a majority." So let me segue here a second. Here's one of the greatest things that frustrated me this weekend. I'm going to get Chad on here too. Oh, we had a great time. It's never wasted when you're with brothers. Never wasted. Robert. Jerry, while I'm blowing my horn real quick here, go to my Facebook page and pull up that picture on my Facebook page of Robert, if you will. So there we are. We march 2 miles from this abortion clinic to the state house to have our rally. It was maybe 500 people. Somebody said 1,000. I don't know, but we had a good crowd. And we get there and we're on the backside and we stand there for 2 hours and people talked. That's okay. They talked. Tony Tenderhall talked, the guy introduced the bill. Talk. And little did we know when we got there that on the opposite side, Roger, on the opposite side of the Capitol building, there was a Never Trump rally. On the opposite side were all these they call us deplorables. I'll play some of that for you too. On the other side, I looked at Big Rich and I looked at Robert. I said, "We need to go over on the other side." So get this picture with me, fellas. Get this picture with me. There we are, 500, 700, 1,000 of us. Abolish human abortion. Stand up. Push back. Fight. Can somebody tell me why somebody didn't get on that microphone and says, hey, boys, let's go over on the other side and let's straighten those folks out over there. Let's go over there. Hey, you want to just share the gospel? Well, let's go over there and share the gospel with them then. But we got what they was supposed to be 20,000 profoundly lost people on the other side. Now, their crowd wasn't that big, but they had a bigger crowd than we had. But nobody said, hey, let's go over there and share the gospel. Let's go hand out tracts. Let's go over there and let them see what deplorables look like. Let's go over there and let them see that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we did. About 6 or 7 of us went over there. And you know what I saw? Weenies. The little weenies. 60-year-old former hippies or university professors. Bunch of people over there, they don't share anything in common, although they just hate Trump. But they don't hate Trump. They hate the Lord. They hate all things righteous. You with me? And I'm thinking, there we were. We had them. They were on the same field that we were on. We were down at our end, having our press conference, or our cheering, or whatever. We were there, and they're on the other side. They're just on the other side. Why didn't we go? Somebody kick off. Let's go play. Why didn't we? Scroll down there. Look, there are plenty of cops. They'd have protected us. I'm not talking about violence. But we walked over and some guy was wearing that big shirt. What did it say? F
the alt-right.
F the alt-right. I wanted to grab big old Rich and big old Robert and walk over and say, what's that? Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about, Willis? That's what I wanted to be able to do. See, Christians don't do that. And because we don't accumulate numbers, and because we don't push back, and because we're invisible, we lose. Hey, can you get that picture of Robert up there? I want you guys to see our dear friend old Robert. Jared, you're on the Facebook page. While we're looking for Robert, anybody got anything to add? Let me pull my glass. I'm sorry about the reflection on my glasses and the bad lighting. It's just I'm at the kitchen table. Anybody got a reaction at all? Jared, did you find Robert on my Facebook page? Because I want to honor Robert today. Jared, if you're looking, okay, he's up because I don't see it, buddy. Is Robert up there right now? Do you guys see Robert Sellers standing there? Wayne, give me a thumbs up. That means you guys can see him because I can't. Okay, good. You see Robert Sellers? I want you guys to take a good look at that guy. I want you to take a good look at him. That's God's holy nose tackle right there, boys. Robert drove 1,000 miles. He left Friday night at 11 o'clock, Rich? Yeah, I don't even remember. He drove 1,000 miles. He arrived late Friday night, immediately gave us all big hugs and about fell asleep in the chair. So Rich took him back to the hotel and put him down, bedded him down like a big old oxen, bedded him down. He got up the next morning. And he went to that rally and he stood there with his Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt on. And he didn't do anything other than be there. He walked over on the other side with us when the whole thing was over. He came back and did a little strategy session. And boys, he got in his truck and he drove 1,000 miles back home because he had to go to work this morning. That's a player right there, baby. That's a player. And Dave. So, yeah, go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, but I got to get to the mission field in Cambodia.
Yeah, that's right. Did you guys hear that? Got to get to Cambodia. That's where the real war is raging, right? Got to go to Cambodia. I got to go to Guatemala. We have this mindset that the mission field is overseas. Boys, the mission field's right here. We are so stinking lost.
Dave,
yeah,
there was a time in our nation where you might have been able to look overseas a little quicker, a little easier. There was a little stability in America towards Christ. Those days are over.
They're gone, baby.
What the church doesn't realize is if the foundation of our faith crumbles, if the foundation of our country crumbles, it affects the world, whether we like it or not. God has used this nation, and we're in trouble. As the guy said, we're in trouble.
Okay, so listen to what my friend Sarge or Chad just said. Chad, there you are, man.
Morning.
Pull your hat up a little bit. I can't see your face.
All right. As America goes, so does the world. That's the way it's set up. And so we're not just a world leader because we have more money. We're not just a world leader because we have a great military, because we've had God's anointing for our country for so long. Okay, but we continue to turn our back on it and look away and go our own, rule ourselves. We're ruling ourselves. We're making our own, what's righteous in our own eyes. And that's what, that's why we're in the state that we're in. You know, those people that showed up yesterday, I wonder how many of those people, you know, on the crowd of 500, I need to be more specific, our crowd of 1,000.
Good guys.
Okay, we're over here. It's families. They're wholesome. And, you know, they were committed to the thing. But, again, we're just it's just more talking. It's more visiting, you know, less that, you know. I don't know how many of those were, you know, I don't know what they would be committed to. I don't know.
Would they pay the price? Would they do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
So folks, let me listen. I just got to get this out of it because I've been sitting around talking to Rich. It's been a great time. Yeah, Rich. Yeah, I'm going to play that in a minute. Yeah, they kicked off their rally with Islamic music. Right. We're going to get that up here in a second, okay? Hey, if numbers don't matter, why do they have so many numbers? Now, hey, Roger. Here's what I want you guys to chew on. I want you to think about this all day. Everybody that's listening to this right now, I want you to think about this. Because here's our church language. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is the King of the kings and the Lord of the lords. Jesus is in control of everything. Nothing happens that Jesus doesn't allow to have happen. You could quote one for me too. You can quote one for me too. So we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus Lord of those idiots on the other side of the state house? And you know what? He is. They just don't know it. But the fact that they don't know that he is king over them doesn't mean he ain't king over them. And so we've got to get away from this idea of this two kingdom message that we got going on in America, that Jesus is Lord over the Christians, but he isn't the Lord over the world. He isn't the Lord over America. Yeah, we in the church, we answer to Jesus, but the Supreme Court, no, they don't answer to Jesus. They're secular. The question, guys, is Jesus Lord over the secular world? No. Not does the secular world recognize him as Lord. Is he Lord over the secular world? Roger, is he Lord over the legal system? Not whether the legal system says he's Lord. Is he Lord over the legal system? Chad, this is a pretty easy question. Is he? Is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords or not? And if he's King of Kings, does that mean there are others who think they're king? They think they're the king, but they said, no. He's the king of all kings. He's the Lord over all lords. He's the shepherd over all shepherds. There ain't nothing that he's not in control of. Guys, that's not our mentality. See? You can say what you want to, that the kings have determined a woman can kill her baby. What's the Lord say? What does the King of Kings say? Can a woman kill her baby? No. Well, so we, as the church, are supposed to sit back and say, well, I'm sorry, that's secular. We don't really have any impact there. No, we got to follow the government. Well, Jesus is King of Kings, isn't he? Yeah, but coach, it's secular. Do you understand the dichotomy? Do you understand the ignorance in our stupid heads, the way that we are seeing this? We should be, pardon me, crushing the head of the serpent. And as sad and as much as you don't want to hear this, I'm going to whisper this one for the right wing watch. Dylan's that guy's name, I think, has that man crush. Isn't that his name, Rich? Dylan. That guy writes about me on there. Yeah. Hey, listen. Hey, Dylan. The devil has kids. The devil has kids. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. Christian, you better wake up and understand this. Jesus doesn't love the devil's kids. No matter what your pastor has told you, Jesus does not love the devil's kids. He loves his own kids. In fact, we find there in Matthew where some of the people who think are his children, he said, get out of here. I never, ever knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. And we are right now, as Abraham Lincoln said, engaged in a great civil war. Hey, Rich, it just ain't declared yet.
Yeah.
We're engaged in one, boys. We are engaged in a great civil war. Now, I want to play something here for you that was absolutely, is Josh Mann on there with us today? I can't, my screen's small with my phone, so I can't see. Josh, you there? I don't know if he, it doesn't matter. Hey, let me say this. I love Robert Sellers. Robert, I love you, brother. I know that you would die for Jesus. I know that you would die for me. I appreciate your heart and your sacrifice and your encouraging spirit. And I just want you to know that I love you. And I know Rich would say the same thing and Chad would say the same thing. And we appreciate the sacrifice that you made. I just want you to know that, brother. I'm so proud of you. Hey, I'll climb into hell and out of hell with you, brother. And I know that you'll be there with me to try to protect me. Now, hey, fellas. Here's what I want you to see. We go, hey, Jared, see if you can pull up that video. Again, I'm not seeing it on my screen. So when you have it up, go ahead and say, Jared, it's up so we know. We walked over, me and Rich and Chad and Chris and Vanessa and Josh and there was a slew of us. Glenn, I think Glenn was with us. I'm going to miss others. We walked over to where the enemy was. After our rally was over, we walked over to where the enemy was. And we get there, and I'm looking around. We're reading some of the stupid signs, which don't even make any sense. And all of a sudden, and these drums are going. I'm thinking, is our Indians around here? What's going on? And they're getting ready to open their rally. And I want you to hear this, folks. The other side are singing. That's not even a good word. They are doing what appears to us to be
Allah worship.
Allah worship. Hey, listen, it was some spirit that wasn't the Holy One, okay? It was something mystic that was going on there. You're going to hear this. And so I grab my phone and I walk up close and I begin to walk through the crowd. And Rich pointed out last night, or Chad, one of them did, that I walked into that crowd and I didn't even notice right behind me was Josh. He wasn't going to let me go in that crowd alone. He walked right behind me, and he had my back every step that I went. And I went up there, and I recorded that thing, and I'm thinking, here we are on the other side. We pretend to love the Lord. We go there and sing our songs and clap our hands and do our speeches. And over here, they are serving an entirely different Jesus. Hey, Rod, Jared, my mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. I didn't prepare as well as this morning. There is Jared, see if you can somehow, as you're doing all this, see if you can find that prayer or that video where at the one of the town hall meetings, the man opened the town hall meeting in prayer and the people screamed and hollered and booed at him because he did it in Jesus' name. Boys, if our pastors don't know what's going on. You know why, Raj? Because they're sitting up there performing. They're up there doing a performance on Sunday morning. They don't have any idea what's outside, okay? So, Jared, I assume you have that video up there. It's just a couple minutes. Guys, it's going to start out kind of soft, and then all of a sudden it's going to get louder over here. I want you to listen to the music that is being played at this anti-Trump rally. It gave me the willies, and in fact, Rich looked at me and said, I'm out here. I've had enough. That's what I felt. I had enough. In this Christian nation where Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this kind of crap's going on. See if you can get that going for me, Jared.
Hey, folks, this is Coach Dave here. You know, we've been here in Austin, Texas all morning, and now I want you to listen to this.
Can't tell.
We're on the other side. There's a Never Trump rally, an anti-Trump rally over there. They said there's going to be 20,000 people. Really aren't that very many people there. I want you to hear, I don't know, maybe it's just me, this young lady here started started to sing. I think you can call it singing. See if she does it again. And it was eerie. Let's see if we can hear it. See if she does it again.
She's trying to do it. She's going to start singing more. Bear with me.
Got some of our good buds here. Josh and Robert.
There's Josh. He's going to follow me in the crowd.
Big Rich is with us. Chad. And I finally figured it out. This, for the most part, is just the hippies. 40 years later, that's really what we're seeing out here. These Never Trumpers. And she's gonna start singing.
Get ready. You're gonna start singing. I'm gonna move in.
So you can hear it. Because I think it's pretty eerie.
In America, folks. Mysticism. In America. They hate us. They hate God.
You can hear the drums in the background. This is Eastern mysticism.
Her microphone isn't working yet. I'm gonna get it turned off. Okay, you can stop that. You can stop it, Jared. You guys believe that? Do you believe that? Hey, do you believe the devil has a team? Do you believe the devil has a team? Now, I haven't told you this. You know, we had about 500,000. I don't know how many we had. We had a nice crowd. Someone said about 80% of them. There he is. There's God's holy nose guard. Do you know about 80% of them? Let's say it's only 70%. We're out of the state. The churches in Texas didn't show up. Joel Osteen, he don't care. He can say what he wants to. Best Life Now, Howdy Doody, Teeth. He don't care. John Hagee's over there doing jumping jacks for Israel. He don't care what's going on in America. He's doing jumping jacks for Israel. That Robert Jeffress, I see him all the time on Fox News, and he's talking about doing the right thing and everything. He wasn't there. They got a guy who stood up is going to try to end abortion in Texas. He wasn't there. And so over on the other side, we got these Eastern mystics who hate Trump, and they're out there. It's wicked. Anybody going to save me here? I got my new shirt on, by the way. Ignore Roe. I like that one better. Y'all see the back of it. I'm going to start wearing it everywhere. Hey, Chad, hold this up for me. Look at the back of this shirt. See if you can see it. Murderous. It says murdering babies. You see that? Murdering babies. No one has a right to murder babies. I'll be wearing that one in Kroger's tomorrow when I get home. Thanks. Yeah, Raj.
I don't know if this is an appropriate comment, but, you know, when Hitler was rising up in Germany, if I know my history a little bit, and I'm not a scholar, you know, half the Christian church joined him.
Yeah, they did. Well, that's why the great martyrs we know about, right? Niemöller. That's why he got hung. Why did he get hung? Because he was out there acting like us fools and saying, don't trust that. Don't you trust that government. Don't bow to that government. And hey, Raj, we were talking the other night. I'm just telling you. Jesus, when he stands before Pilate, I could find that pulled up here. Pilate interviews Jesus, and what does Pilate say? I don't find any fault in this guy. He hadn't done anything. He said, I'll wash my hands of it. I want none to do with this. And the Jewish leaders, the religious folks, say, you hear me? The religious folks said, oh, no, we got to have something done with this boy. We got to have something done with him. And they began to chant. Are you ready, Roger? You know what they began to chant?
We will not have this man rule over us. Well, that's an applicable today. I'm not talking about Trump. And so what happened? Pilate says, okay, I'm a Democrat. I believe in democracy. Hey, here stands Barabbas, who's guilty of treason, murder. I'll set him free or I'll set Jesus. Here's Jesus. Jesus has claimed to be the Son of God. And what'd they say, Raj? Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Hate to tell you this. That's what the church is saying today. Give us Barabbas. We don't want this other dude ruling over us. We don't want this Jesus ruling over us. Because if he rules over us, we can't screw everything we want to. And we can't drink and drive. Sorry, I use that term. I slipped out the corner a bit here. Sorry. We can't kill our babies then if he's doing it. We can't have our best life now. We're letting this guy rule over us. Give us Barabbas, man. Give us Barabbas. And we're making those same daggone choices here today. I'm ready to move to something. I feel it deep inside of me. I feel it. Anybody got anything you want to say? Oh, Jeff probably wanted to talk. See? Jeff, if you're listening to me, Jeff, you can't call on that number because I'm using the phone. Can he call on your number, Rich?
Yeah, can I?
You'll have to answer it if Jeff wants to get in here. Dial this number, Jeff, or anybody out there that's got something like to say, Rich will answer. It's 217-556.
Right around the corner. I couldn't.
6587. Let's do that again. 217-556-6587. If you want to get in, Rich will pick up that phone. Answer. Sorry, Jeff, I had to cut you off there because I think Jeff wants to say something. Anybody else want to jump in here? No? Jeff left a voicemail, see? I'm on my phone, Jeff. If you're listening, you know I'm on my phone, bud. We'll get knocked off the air. Okay, I'm going to show you something else. You ready? Hey, Jared, let's go to the junk I sent you today, Jared. Hey, Weave, I know you haven't seen this one. Are there any Buckeyes on there? Any other Ohio boys on there? JR with us today? I don't know. Hey, Jared, click on Homos Ohio. I got to show these guys in there because they haven't seen this. Homos Ohio. Hey, Jeff's calling you. Go ahead and grab that. Hold it right there a second. Find out. Is this Jeff?
Yeah, it's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, you're on. Man, I'm using my phone, so I got to put you on Rich's phone. What's up?
Hey, I got a story for you on Saturday.
Yo, Jeff's a guy in Mount Vernon, Ohio, who goes to the local courthouse square where the God haters are out there. Jeff's been going there for about 4 or 5 weeks in a row. He went again this last Saturday. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. You're just talking this morning about him singing that Muslim prayer over there and everything they're doing. The guy that keeps coming to me on the square that says he's a Muslim scholar and all of this, and as I stand up and read out of the Quran, he approaches me every week. Well, he came back yet Saturday, and he said he listened to the CD of Osama Dakdok, which I know he didn't. So as Pastor Bill and I were talking to him, we're trying to figure this dude out. He's saying his name is Noah, the same as Noah in the Bible. So we run a little search on him afterwards, Saturday afternoon. He is right out of Kenyon College. He is a professor, a math class in there. He is the one that brought in the prayer rugs and all that here to Kenyon College. He's the big honcho down here at the Liberal Kenyon College. He is the one behind this whole thing on the square with 200 people on.
So, in other words, Jeff, so the devil has a team, huh, Jeff?
Yeah. Yep.
Hey,
so
Jeff.
We're checking him out. I'm supposed to meet with him, but I'm going to check him out a little further and get some. I'm going to get my guns loaded first before I sit down with this dude.
Yeah.
But I am. We're going to meet with him.
Hey, Jeff.
Try to figure this whole situation out.
Hey, Jeff, is Allah Lord over Mount Vernon?
Well, he is right now over the public square in Mount Vernon.
He's not supposed to be, is he?
No. He's trying to tell us, you know, the same old crap they always tell you.
Right.
Well, Allah is the same as your God, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, say, yeah. Buddy, stop the nonsense.
That's right. Stop the nonsense. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hey, Jared, are you still looking to find out where they booed the in Jesus' name prayer? Hey, Jeff, thanks, man. I got a roll. Appreciate you, brother. Love you.
All right.
Okay, good. Now, before we do that, hey, Roger, are you looking at the screen? See what's up on the screen right there, Roger? Ohio LGBT group announces plans to target churches for homosexual weddings. Right there it is, boys. Right there it is. Hey, Rog, they're going to flush out that guy standing in your pulpit. They're going to flush him out, baby. And you know what? Hey, you know, hey, Rich. The people we ran into this weekend, they need more in prayer, don't they, brother? If you think we're going to pray them into the kingdom, if you think you're going to sit on your butt in your church and pray and God's going to draw those people, I'm telling you, you're dumber than a rock if you think that. You've never been out and looked them in the eye and seen what it's all about. And here we see they are coming to our churches. Why? Because they know the churches are pussycats. Little kitty cats, there ain't going to be any opposition come from the church. And they're going to mandate that Jersey Baptist Church marry homos. Weave, you better let your pastor know. You better forward this to your pastor and say they're coming. But, oh, that's okay. You know what? We'll get the Pastor Protection Act. Then we'll be okay. Really? Huh? Hey, Rich, I'm saying this in a figurative way. We have to crush God's enemies. We have to crush God's enemies.
Isn't it in the Bible?
We got to crush his enemies. Not our enemies. Not our enemies. I love those who love you and hate those who hate you. I hate you with a perfect hatred. There are some things God hates, and we should hate them too. And I'm going to tell you, boys and girls, they're going to push and push and push. And we saw it again this weekend. They would just as soon kill you, Christians, as look at you. Oh, well, Brother Dave, we just have to pray for them. Yeah, that shows how stupid you are. You ain't never been out there. That'd be like me taking a football team out there and tell my inside linebacker, hey, don't go tackle them. Just pray they fall down. Jesus, please let them trip on the grass. Please, Jesus, let them trip on the grass. And then when they're down there in the grass, let them find you, Jesus. How stupid are we? Let's do this. Let's go tackle them eyeball to eyeball, plant them on the grass, and then maybe they'll find Jesus. Because the fear of God is the beginning. I'm going to make right wing watch again. I made it the other day over chemtrails. Made it on Friday again. That man love, that boy's got that crush on me out there. He's still watching. He's still watching. Hey, Jared. Guys, listen to this. Hey, Lindell. Good to see you. Hey, guys, listen to this recent town hall meeting. Listen to these God haters go nuts when they pray in Jesus' name. See if you can pull that up there, Jared. Now, they're yelling just about the prayer. They're yelling just about the prayer. The prayer hasn't even started yet. So here in a minute, they're going to start the prayer at the end of this. Hey, Jared, let's forward this about halfway so this doesn't take so long. Let's forward, because then they're going to calm down a little bit. They're just yelling. They're just disruptors. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a prayer. And when they do it in Jesus' name at the end of this thing, listen to the uproar. Folks, these are the devil's children. The devil's children we're fighting. Come on. Go ahead.
Lord, we come together and we say as people that in God we trust.
Since 1945.
And all the peers and caters. Thank you for moms and dads and grandparents. Lord, give us you. There's no way to pray for the house of God we can't stand. God, give us
because, Lord, with that, you can provide salvation to church and we can find a way to God. For all of us are being one here, we bless them and keep them.
You're talking about seeing them process. He
be gracious to them and give them your peace. We pray in Jesus' name.
Hey, huh? Do you hear that? Do you hear? Roger, they hate God. They hate Jesus. Folks, how do we coexist with people who hate Jesus? See, that's what the cultural war is all about. That's what the enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman is all about. And I'm going to tell you, John Hagee, and I'm going to tell you, John Hagee, pray all you want to for Israel. Joel Osteen, pray all you want to for your best life now. Robert Jeffress, speak out all you want to about the homosexual parade. But if we do not meet them in the streets, we pray and we go. We pray and we go. What time is it? Oh, my goodness. Come on, rescue me here. Oh, got another. Tim Tuber calling in from out on the West Coast. Help us, Big Tim. Help us.
Hey, man, I love the homosexual. I just hate their sin. And listen, this country was founded on the Muslims, the freedom of religion when they came over in the boats to America. Because they're being persecuted.
Yeah, when the imams settled right there in Boston, right?
That's right. And when they were killing all the Indians because they worshipped the wrong god. Come on, let's get this thing straight, man. If we don't preach it and do it right, we're in trouble.
Hey, Tim, you saw it in Washington D.C., didn't you? You saw it, brother. hey, Tim. Why do the God haters think it's important? Why do the God haters think it's important to take it to the streets and the Christians don't?
Well, I'll say something. Because they don't really believe in God. If you don't, mount up, get Joel Osteen, get those pastors. When you said that to me, when I heard you online just say that none of those churches showed up in Texas, I was pissed. I just went unbelievable.
Yeah.
I could not believe it.
Yeah, brother, I'm telling you. And you know what? We could so overwhelm them. And, you know, here was the picture. Think about this, Tim. Everybody listen, think about this. There we were at the State House, and we were on one side of it. Hey, what side were we on, Chad? We were on the north side of the State House holding our abortion rally. And on the other side, the south side, were these Trump haters, these America haters, they were on the other side. And so imagine that you are a Congress, you're an elected representative, and you're in your office in the State House, and you walk over and you look out the north window and you see our little crowd gathered out there. Then you walk down the hallway to the south side and you look out the south side and you see their crowd gathered out there. Hey, Tim, which crowd are you going to please?
That's right.
This ain't rocket science, baby. This ain't rocket science. So that's what we're facing. And I just can't say with any more urgency that, boys, we're heading for calamity if we don't wake up. Here's what I'm going to do. Thanks, Tim. God bless you, man. But we should have been here with us. Listen. Okay, listen. Listen. I'm going to turn this phone around. We've got how many minutes here? Just a couple. I'm going to turn this thing around. I want you to hear from Chad. Chad was there. He saw it again firsthand. I want you to hear from Rich, because some of you out there think I'm a blowhard and I'm making it up and I'm an exaggerating and all that. Let's see what Chad thinks. And Chad, you got to look right down here, see if they can see, and okay. Just kind of adjust okay. It so they can't.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know. When I first heard the music, I thought it was going to be I thought it was like a Mexican band.
Wouldn't you think, guys, hang on, Chad. Wouldn't you think they would be doing some Beatles song or Bob Dylan song, these old hippies, American songs, American music? In fact, Chad, I'm sorry. At one point, this lady's up here singing in another language. I'm not making it up. She said, sing along, didn't she?
Yeah.
Sing along.
And some people did. You know, and they knew the song. But, you know, it was the No Band, No Wall rally is what it was. And so I thought that you know, I saw this, you know, unique guitar up there. So I thought it's not uncommon to have, you know, get up there and play that
Mexican
mariachi music. And you know, but it wasn't. It was Islam music. It was Middle Eastern. And that's pretty good. Anyways, so, you know, it just I get a bad feeling that we're just allowing them to creep in here. They're just creeping in, just slowly creeping in, just at just incrementalism.
Just pray for incrementalism. Them, Chad. Just pray for them.
I just couldn't stay over there. I just couldn't stay over there because I know it's not the music wasn't that it, the music was offensive. It was that the fact that they were there with the music.
Worshipping another god.
Okay, Rich, what do you got?
Here, take it, Rich. You can just hold it, man.
You know, we talked about a lot of stuff, and we've seen a lot of stuff this weekend, but I got one thing to say. Josh Manna, Jesus seen your faith this weekend, brother, and so did we. And I'm proud, man, I'm proud of you. I can't wait to see you again and stand with you. You're a God-fearing man that will lay it down for the Lord. And I just can't say enough about you, man. That's all I got to say. It was sick. This weekend was sick. And we got to push back, fellas. It's plain and simple.
The Lord's going to – I looked at the time. The Lord works through people. The Lord's going to – the future of America rises and falls on what the church does and what the church does now. Right now. And to think in Texas where everything's big. Did you guys see this? Did you see this? Planned Parenthood's speaker at their fundraiser. You see who it was? Huh? You see who their speaker is at their fundraiser coming up? George W. Bush's daughter is speaking at the fundraiser for Planned Predators. There you go, boys. There you go. That's what we're up against. Look at old Jared, good man. He's scrolling this because you guys think I'm lying. So Jared's doing a Bing search, and there it is. Jared, click on that for us. Why, my goodness. Is it George W. Bush's daughter, Barbara, the headline, Planned Parenthood fundraiser? Let's just get us a few more of them Republicans in there, huh? Well, everything's good in Texas. No. The only way we're going to make America great again is if we somehow make the church great again. Somebody bail me out here the couple minutes. You guys have been quiet.
I want it.
Chad wants to bail out here. Hang on.
Well, first of all, I just I'm sorry that more guys couldn't have been here. It was great. Again, it's always what I call this is church camp for adults. But really, I want to take time to honor my wife, who she prepared and cleaned and ran around and just waited on all of us. Just one meal after another, we were just generating all this. And so, you know, it's just an undying spirit. And just never complained or anything, whined or anything. And then, you know, all my kids came over and saw. And my daughter got baptized this weekend. And
yeah, I forgot that.
And it was great that we, you know, everyone was here. The team was here to share that with us, you know. And that's what was great. It's the fellowship, men, that – and Sarah, that we need to, you know, that's what's important. So when you come here, you know, the event is what we come together for, but the fellowship is what it's gravy. That's it. It's the bread and, you know, bread, meat and potatoes of it. So, you know, I'm just grateful for the opportunity there. And then, you know, try the opportunity here to honor my wife and just say thank you for that, Michelle. So.
Amen. Amen to that. Listen, you know what's happening to me? Every time I come to one of these things, you say, Coach, what a waste of time. In fact, I felt sorry to Rich. I said, you know, Rich, I'm sorry you came all the way down here, spent all that money to fly down there and be part of this. And Robert, you drove 1,000 miles to come over there. I'm going to tell you, though. Rich will tell you. Robert will tell you. Every time I come, I'm more deeply committed. And every time I come, I now know I can trust Rich with my life. I can trust Chad with my life. I can trust Robert with my life. I know that, guys. I know that. And we have got to go out and we have got to find more. Let me close with the same thing. Chris, I could go on with names. I'm not signaling out anybody on purpose. I'm just saying that there's a bond that is being built here. And guys, we've got to recruit. We need some numbers. We need some numbers. Remember this, that it was David by himself that dropped Goliath, but there were a lot of people standing there behind him watching. And it's said that when David chopped off his head, did you know that all those good Christians that were behind David, do you know they ran towards the battle when that happened? Courage engenders courage. We've got some changes coming through the program, some good things. We talked some more about prepping this week. Oh, chemtrails. Oh, some of you still laughing at me about chemtrails. I'm going to get into that a little bit. The devil is at work. The devil's at work. And I would just say to everybody out there, come on in. The water's fine. Come on in. The water's fine. We need you. The Lord hath need of you in these perilous times in which we find ourselves. What a time to be alive. I bet right now Samson's up there tugging on the cape of the Lord. Can I go back down there? Can I go back down? David, can I go down there? Hey, Lord, can I go down there now? This is it, baby. The battle is unfolding right in front of us. And now's the time to stand up. So tomorrow I'll be back in studio, Lord willing. And tell your buddies, spread the word. Share this video. Share what we're doing. If you're watching out there, email us at the Salt and Light Brigade. Email me here at Coach Dave Live. We need you. We want to connect with you. You are an important part of this team. We need you. Come out of the dark, come out of the shadows, come out of the hiding, come out of the closet. All hands on deck. God bless you all. See you tomorrow.